Page 116, chapter 23. It was the longest day, mindlessly hot, unspeakably hot, too hot to move or even think. The countryside, the village of Tree Gap, the wood all lay defeated, nothing stirred, the sun was a ponderous circle without edges, a roar without a sound, a blazing glare so thorough and remorseless that even in the Forster's parlor, with curtains drawn, it seemed an actual presence. You could not shut it out. Page 117. Winnie's mother and grandmother sat plaintive all afternoon in the parlor, fanning themselves and sipping lemonade, their hair unsettled and their knees loose. It was totally unlike them, this lapse from gentility, and it made them much more interesting. But Winnie didn't stay with them. Instead, she took her own brimming glass to her room and sat in a little rocker by the window. Once she had hidden Jesse's bottle in a bureau drawer, there was nothing to do but wait. In the hall outside her room, the grandfather's clock ticked deliberately, unimpressed with anyone's impatience, and Winnie found herself rocking to its rhythm, forward, back, tick-tock, tick-tock. She tried to read, but it was so quiet that she could not concentrate, and so she was glad when at last it was time for supper. It was something to do, though none of them could manage more than a nibble. But later, when Winnie went out again to the fence, she saw the sky was changing. It was not so much clouding up as thickening somehow from every direction at once, the blank blue gone to haze, and then as the sun sank reluctantly behind the treetops, the haze hardened to a brilliant brownish yellow. In the wood, the leaves turned underside up, giving the trees a silvery cast. The air was noticeably heavier. It pressed on Winnie's chest and made her breathing difficult. She turned and went back into the cottage. "It's going to rain, I think," she told the prostrate group in the parlor, and the news received little moans of gratitude. Page 118. Everyone went to bed early, closing windows firmly on the way, for outside, though it was almost dark, shreds of hard brown-yellow light lingered on the rims of things, and there was a wind beginning. Small gusts that rattled through the fence gate and set the trees to rustling. The smell of rain hung sweet in the air. "What a week this has been," said Winnie's grandmother. "Well, thank the Lord, it's almost over," and Winnie thought to herself, "Yes, it's almost over." There were 3 hours to wait before midnight, and nothing whatever to do. Winnie wandered restlessly about her room, sat in a rocker, lay on the bed, counting the ticks of the hall clock. Beneath her excitement, she was thick with guilt. For a second time in 3 short days, though they seemed many more than that, she was about to do something which she knew would be forbidden. She didn't have to ask. Winnie had her own strong sense of rightness. She knew that she could always say afterwards, "Well, you never told me not to." But how silly that would be. Of course, it would never occur to them to include such a thing on the list of don'ts. She could hear them saying it, almost smile. "Now remember, Winifred, don't bite your fingernails, don't interrupt when someone else is speaking, and don't go down to the jailhouse at midnight to change places with prisoners." Page 119. Still, it wasn't really funny. What would happen in the morning when the constable found her in the cell and had to bring her home for the second time? What would they say? Would they ever trust her again? Winnie squirmed, sitting in the rocker, and swallowed uncomfortably. Well, she would have to make them understand somehow without explaining. The hall clock chimed 11. Outside, the wind had stopped. Everything, it seemed, was waiting. Winnie lay down and closed her eyes, thinking of Tuck and May, of Miles and Jesse. Her heart softened. They needed her to take care of them. For in the funny sort of way that it struck her at first, they were helpless, or too trusting. Well, something like that. Anyway, they needed her. She would not disappoint them. May would go free. No one would have to find out. Winnie would not have to find out that May could not. But Winnie blocked the picture from her mind, the horror that would prove the secret. Instead, she turned her thoughts to Jesse. When she was 17, would she? If it were true, would she? And if she did, would she be sorry afterward? Tuck had said, "It's something you don't find out how you feel until afterwards." But no, it wasn't true. She knew that now, here in her own bedroom. They were probably crazy after all, but she loved them anyway. They needed her, and thinking this, Winnie fell asleep. Page 120. She woke with a jerk sometime later and sat up, alarmed. The clock was ticking steadily. The darkness was complete. Outside, the night seemed poised on tiptoe, waiting, holding its breath for the storm. Winnie stole out to the hall and frowned at the clock face in the shadows, and at last she could make it out, for the black Roman numerals were just barely visible against their white ground. The brass hands glowed faintly. As she peered at them, the long hand snapped forward one more notch with a loud click. She had not missed her moment. It was 5 minutes to midnight.